From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. First-time claims for unemployment benefits have dropped sharply, falling last week after rising steeply over the previous 3 weeks. The Labor Department says new claims for benefits were down to a seasonally adjusted 473,000. But many economists note that in a healthy economy where significant numbers of new jobs are being added, weekly benefit claims usually fall below the 400,000 mark. The nation's unemployment rate remains high, and that's one of the factors that has Mark Zandeep, chief economist with Moody's Analytics, concerned about the possibility of a double-dip recession. But Zandeep says he thinks the U.S. economy will manage to avoid that, in part because he sees the housing market bottoming out and beginning to rebound over the coming months.
We had a housing tax credit that pushed forward sales. Lots of people came into the market this summer to take advantage of that credit. It expired, and so, of course, on the backside of the credit, we're seeing these very, very weak sales numbers. So I think these are probably the worst of the numbers we're going to see in this housing crash.
Sandy was on CBS's Early Show. Former President Jimmy Carter is spending another day in North Korea trying to win the release of an American teacher who's been imprisoned there since early this year. But Wally Sai-Kow-Tao reports North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-il, is visiting China today.
The Korean Central News Agency said Pyongyang hosted a reception for President Carter yesterday at a state guest house, but it's unclear if leader Kim attended. Mr. Carter's visit is aimed at securing the release of Aijilan Gomes, a 31-year-old Boston native who was sentenced to 8 years for illegally entering North Korea in January. For NPR News, I'm Dawahli Sai-Kow-Tao in Seoul.
Evacuations have been ordered in three more cities in southern Pakistan after a flood-swollen river overran protective levees. More than 8 million people in Pakistan are in need of emergency assistance from the flooding. The world's largest retailer, Walmart, is asking the Supreme Court to stop a massive class action lawsuit brought by current and former female employees. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports the class of plaintiffs involves more than 1 million women.
The lawsuit was filed by an employee alleging systemic gender bias over pay and promotions. 6 years ago, a federal judge in San Francisco ruled the suit could proceed as a class action. Walmart has been fighting that ruling ever since. The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against the retail giant, and now it hopes the U.S. Supreme Court will reverse the lower courts. The lawsuit is considered the largest sex discrimination case in history, and billions of dollars in potential damages are at stake. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, San Francisco.
Hurricane Danielle is gaining some strength in the Atlantic. The storm now has maximum sustained winds of 105 miles an hour. It's still more than 800 miles away from the island of Bermuda. Farther east in the Atlantic, Tropical Storm Earl is also getting stronger. It's expected to become a hurricane tomorrow or Saturday. This is NPR News from Washington. A former business executive who fled Britain nearly two decades ago after his conglomerate collapsed has returned to face charges of fraud. Larry Miller reports the man's attorneys have worked out bail conditions.
Asir Nadir built Polypack into a 1980s boomtime success story. Nadir became one of Britain's richest people until the crash of the early 1990s. It was alleged Nadir secretly transferred $50 million out of the country, which led to Polypack's collapse. He denies that, saying he fled because he felt he could not get a fair trial in the then politically charged atmosphere.
I'm hoping that the environment at the moment is correct for this injustice to be put to bed.
Since fleeing, Nadir has lived in Turkish-controlled North Cyprus. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
The co-chairman of the President's Oil Spill Commission, former Senator Bob Graham, says BP's massive spill in the Gulf of Mexico represents, in his words, an enormous and shared failure of public policy. The other co-chair of the panel, Bill Riley, says he is surprised the Obama administration did not reach out to environmental officials, such as the chair of the Council on Environmental Quality, before deciding to recommend expanded offshore drilling.
I'm disappointed that a policy to expand so significantly the area of offshore oil and gas would not have involved direct consultation with the CEQ chair and with other agencies.
The panel is hearing testimony from government and industry officials, including Elizabeth Birnbaum, the former head of the agency that oversees offshore drilling. She told the panel she deeply regrets the Gulf oil spill. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.